and we adore you. We glorify your name, Lord, because indeed the entrance of your word brings light. And again, we thank you for all that you have done for us this year. And we thank you, Lord, as we look forward toward the ending of this year and about to get into the next year. We just thank you for all of your thoughts, your plans, and your goodness towards us. Praise God. Now, Lord, we pray that you bless everyone that's in the room listening right now, right here, or those that may invoke the replays later on. The Lord bless everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we said before, this is it. It's the last last fellowship here for this year. So I want to use this as a crossover service. And those of you who are on the WhatsApp platform, you must have received the write-up that I sent for everybody to keep. That'll be your reference material. And the only way you are going to get it, or the only way you can get it, you've got to be on that platform and that WhatsApp group to get it. And it is titled the same as today's room. It's called Stop! Enemies That Must Not Follow You to 2024. And the reason, you know, I did it that way and send it out was because it's just too many scriptures to go through in this room. So I'm going to just touch on the highlights, but I wanted you to have, you know, like a companion reference text throughout the year. And at any time that the enemy would raise up its ugly head in any of those areas, then you have those scriptures with you. Praise the Lord. You know, so before we get there, let's take a quick look at 2023. In a few moments, it'll be gone. You know, some people, we are early here in Arizona, but some people are already way ahead. And in fact, if you go to places like, you know, the Philippines or Australia or Japan or some other places like that, they are, you know, almost there already because they are many, many hours ahead of us. You know, so there's places that are almost 21, 23 hours ahead. So they may already be there, but here's where we are right now. So we thank God for, you know, what he has done. And it's been an amazing year. As far as I'm concerned, it's been an amazing year because, you know, I've seen the goodness of the Lord, you know. There's a song that we used to sing that says, I have seen the Lord's goodness, his mercy and his compassion. Well, have you seen the Lord's goodness this year? His mercy and compassion. I mean, think about it. The many good things that you have experienced from the Lord this year. Praise the Lord. And it's been an amazing year. There was a word that the Lord gave us for the year, or gave me to give to, you know, the church and folks around me, you know, and I've been sharing that word throughout this year. And, you know, I love to just spend time, you know, as we go towards the end of the year to just see what the Lord is saying, you know, and a lot of people do that. I do that also. You know, and the Lord told us, you know, the word for 2023 was emerge, you know, emerge. And some of you already experienced that. And for those who have not fully experienced it, and if you experience some of it, but not in its fullness, well, I have been trying to prepare the people throughout, you know, this year for what's ahead. And I will be releasing, not quite right now, I will be releasing the word for next year. You have to come to the GMI church service to hear it. Oh, I mean, come back and say, you know, after this, so maybe on January 2nd, the room we'll have here, maybe I'll share whatever the Lord shared with us. But there is something that the Lord has been telling me for next year, and I'm going to be sharing that. I will share it, you know, tonight. I will also share it here, I think, when we get back after the New Year's. Remember, we will not have service here, and we will not have this fellowship room on January 1st, but we'll be back January 2nd. You know. But today, before we get to next year, we've got to deal with these issues right here. Now, this is for you. And the Lord wanted me to prepare, you know, that script that I wrote just for these the people here in our clubhouse community. And you got it first. GMI Church has not even got it, unless they, some of them are part of this room. You know, those who are part of this room from that church, they've got it. But it was prepared specifically with you in mind. And I will share it on the GMI forum also. You know, there are some things that must not, repeat, must not follow you to 2024. Praise the Lord. Now, our foundation scripture for today is going to be Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. And for those of you who received the writing, it was a special writing. And I spent a lot of time putting it together. And I want to also thank my wife. She helped me review the scriptures, you know, after I put it all together. And we found some typos and some corrections and different things. You know, so I have released the second edition and the third edition. You know, and every time I released a next edition, you know, I added some more stuff, you know, and, you know, just like some more stuff comes and I add it in, correct some typos and different things, you know, and so on. So now you have the third edition. If you haven't received the third edition, if you picked up the first one and you haven't received the third edition, you need to go back to the forum and pick up that third edition. You should look for the one that says, you know, there's a note underneath it that says this is the third edition, and just discard the previous ones, because this one, you know, we corrected some typos, we've added more scriptures, and you know, it should be good. I'm going to leave it like that, you know, because I can keep making corrections and so forth. You know, a funny thing that I should tell you, this is the reason why I don't write a book, because it will never be finished. I'm always going to go back there and correct it and correct it and correct it. So I just stick to preaching. I preach it, I'm done, I leave it alone. But if you write a book, you know, I'm going to go back and look at it and say, oh, that wasn't quite right. You're going to go put some more stuff. We're going to edit some stuff. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Well, Lord will give me the grace. People have been asking for me to do that, you know, to get to the point where I can just write and I leave it alone. But I find it very hard to do that. Anyway, I want to let you know that you know, I put a lot of time into that, and you should really get it. And if you don't, and, you know, if you don't have it because you're not on our WhatsApp platform, I'm not going to send it to you personally. You're going to have to get on the WhatsApp platform to get it. Now, how do you get on the WhatsApp platform? Well, if you have the WhatsApp app on your phone, you know, let me have your phone number. And I will add you on, and then you can get it. And there is more. There are more announcements on that. That's the reason we want people to join. So that's where we don't have this back channel thing anymore like we used to have here on this app. We don't have the text messages thing on it. Now it's voice, and the thing is pretty hard to use. And someone sent me a voice message yesterday, and I listened to it, and I didn't quite get their number, but they wanted me to add them on. And I tried to listen to it again, and I couldn't figure it out. I mean, how do I listen to this thing again? You know, so I don't know the genius that came up with, you know, this voice chat thing rather than the, you know, text the way we had it before. But this thing is doesn't work for me. So anyway, you know, I say all of that, you might call it small talk. It's something that I am waiting for right here. Praise the Lord. You know, one time David said, look, I mean, the Lord said to him, when you see or hear the moving of the Spirit on top of the mulberry trees, and there was something I was just waiting for, so I'm just doing small talk, you know. So, but here it comes. That's right. So I'm ready to go. Praise the Lord. Now, these are the things that must not, repeat, must not follow you unto. These are enemies. And not just things, but they are enemies that must not follow you to 2024. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy. Now, every one of these enemies, thrust them out from before you and shall say to you, destroy them. Now, you got to do that this year. As we close out in this room today, hallelujah, praise God. So, you better suit up, strap on your full armor of God today. Because we're not playing in this room today. You know, we are going to destroy some enemies. We are going to pummel the head of the devil down. You know, because you don't. You can't put, the devil has put enough stuff on God's people, you know, and it is enough already. And I invite you to go back and listen to, you know, all the lessons that we've been doing, especially the last few days throughout this convocation week, if you missed any of it, you know, and powerful, powerful stuff. So the enemies that, you know, and what I invite you to do, as I always invite people, you know, which is what Jesus said, and I often refer to this in John chapter 6, when Jesus was talking to the Jews, you know, and he told them a remarkable statement in verse 63 of John chapter 6. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, you've heard me refer to that verse many times. What it means, at least my perspective, is that, look, when you hear the word of God, which should bring us spirit and life, you cannot engage that word in the flesh. It's not going to work. Engaging in the flesh just means, oh, you are present. And just because you are present, you think that you got it. No, you must engage in the spirit. Just being present, if you are only present in the flesh, does not give you an advantage over anyone that was not present. But if you engage in the spirit, then of course the Holy Spirit will expand it to you. So as you take that special writing, engage it in the spirit, the Holy Spirit will expand to you, might even give you other scriptures, give you other things and so forth. Now, I'm not going to read through it at all today, and I don't want anybody to read to it because it'll be a distraction. If you start reading that now, you need to listen here. You can read that later. I gave that to you for the whole year. So we're not reading it now, and you shouldn't be reading it now because you need to listen right here. However, I will call out some of these things. Now, there are some parts that I will leave alone, because we already dealt with them. For instance, you know, in number 8, in the write-up, I had terror and oppression. We've dealt with that. I had in number 9, I had heavy burdens and evil yokes. We have dealt with that. I mean, we spent a whole room on each, I mean, one room on those things, you know. And that lesson, if you are looking for it, I believe it was the Breaker's Anointing, you know, against the horns. You know, something like that. So you look for it a few days ago. We have done that. But today, I want to call out some of these things. Number one thing that I want to call out today is fear and anxiety. You need to leave that stuff right here this year. Fear and anxiety. Now, do not carry that with you. This must not go with you. You know, this is a killer. It's just a killer. When the Lord says you can do it, fear and all of these things comes in and say, you can't do that, you know, and so on, you know. So we need to leave that right here. There are many stories that I've told about these kinds of things. And in the special writing, there are three columns that talk about. The first column talks about the enemy. The second column talks about the antidote. And then the third column gives you a bunch of scriptures, you know, for reference material for your, I mean, it's kind of like your arsenal. You'll fight this thing when he raises his head up. Remember, that devil only goes away for a season. That's it. You know, some people say things like, we cast the devil into the bottomless pit. How are you going to cast this devil into the bottomless pit? That's not going to happen. That time is coming. You can't do it right now, but you can cast him out. You know, but, you know, when you cast him out, you know, he'll go away and he'll come back for a season. After a season, he'll come back and you have cast him out again, you know. And every time he shows up, you cast him out, you know. That's how you do it, you know. So that's why you have these scriptures. Now, fear and anxiety. The antidote to that is boldness and confidence. That's right. That's why I loved it when I saw the sister that, you know, put on a wedding dress and took a photo for it with it because she's expecting to get married. Praise the Lord, you know. So, you know, anxiety, that's a killer. I mean, it is such a killer. I'm just going to read one or two verses. There are many scriptures. There are probably a dozen that I gave in that one, or maybe even more, maybe 15 or so. But I'm just going to read one or two, and we're going to deal with each one of these things today. Now, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I want you to listen to this. Now, this is a verse that many people can quote, and many people understand it, many people know it. But I'm going to show you something in verse 7. Now, verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this one is dealing with anxiety. Don't be anxious for nothing. But let's take a look at what the next verse says. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, when you start a sentence with and, that's a conjunction. You can't really start a sentence with and. In contemporary English, you can't do that, you know. So it means that, you know, he's joining what he's saying in this verse to what he said in the last one. He's taking off from where he stopped, you know. And that's like, you know, okay, I said that, and now I'm saying this because of what I said in that one. You know, so here's how it works. The secret that is in this verse 7 is that he didn't quite say, I mean, there's other scriptures that say when you ask, your prayer will be answered and so forth. We know that. But this one is not talking about that. This one is talking about peace of God. Because we've been talking about our kingdom series, dominion series, and in this next year, we're going to the transform and transfigure series, or transformation and transfiguration, transformation series. And so what it really is God wants you to be renewed in your mind, transformed to the point where you can do these things. You know, God doesn't need to be the one to do every little thing for us. I mean, you know, when are we going to grow up already? You know, that may sound strange to some people who want to continue to be children. The Bible says, well, Paul said, look, I can't tell you some things right now because when you ought to have been grown-ups and teachers, you have need that people feed you with milk. So I can only give you milk stuff. But I'm not dealing with milk stuff in this verse 7. This is God wanting you, you know, to get to the level, you know, where, you know, nothing worries you. You can actually handle the things. A classic story of it is the one we found in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus said, you know, enter the boat and said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Well, and Jesus just went to sleep. That's it. You know, that's exactly it. Because now the Lord, he knew that they could handle it. You know, so, you know, that's it. You know, and they should have had peace through the storm. They should have been able to handle it. They should have been able to ride it out. But they didn't. And so Jesus was using all these things to teach us. Look, whether or not God calms the storm, whether or not he answers the prayer right away, the peace that is within you will be greater than the storm that is outside. This is what God is telling us here. You know that, look, let the storm do its thing. It's a storm after all. It's got to do its thing. You know, so let the storm do its thing. The storm can do its thing, but you do your thing. Your thing is the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and 3. Perfect peace. That's your place. No matter what's going on. Now, anything that disrupts your peace, you know, you got to check yourself. Are you in a state of tranquility? You know, even, you know, laws of physics will tell you, you know, every object remains in a state of rest. You know, initially, you know, law of inertia and so on. You know, are you in a state of rest? You should be in a state of rest, regardless of storm and all these things. Now, these people panicked that were in the boat with Jesus. Fear gripped their hearts. They panicked. They ran to Jesus. We're going to perish. Why? Don't you care? Why are you sleeping? You know, and Jesus had no, ladies and gentlemen, I've said it many times and I'll say it again. Jesus had no intention whatsoever of rebuking the storm. He knew the storm was coming, but didn't matter to him. He was just going to sleep. Let the storm do its thing because he had this peace inside of him. He was in a posture of peace that he knew the storm would do its thing and the storm would pass. You know, whether the water was coming into the boat or not, it didn't make any difference to Jesus. Just going to sleep through it. Now, that is something. And also the Lord, when they got him out of sleep, you know, he did two things. He not only rebuked the storm, which he had no intention of doing initially, but he rebuked the disciples. So, look, why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? So that's the thing. When you are fearful, you can't really have any faith. That's why I'm dealing with this fear as number one thing. You can't have faith because you are fearful. You know, so when you are fearful, you cannot have faith. Never mind the storm. There are some storms that must come. Look, and it's not every storm that you have to waste your prayer capital on. Repeat. It is not every storm that you have to waste your prayer capital on. Jesus wasn't going to pray the storm away. You know, he was just going to ride out the storm. You know, so it's not everything, every storm, everything that we have to be wasting our prayer capital on. You know, there's some things that, look, when you are in a posture of peace, when you are in a posture of rest and assurance and tranquility, whatever is happening outside, it's not going to even touch you. Praise the Lord. You're just like in the core, you know, of the atomic structure. And the one that's right there in the core is so stable. All these other things that are on the outside, you know, they may get off track, But that one is so stable, and you are just so stable. And as a matter of fact, God expects you to handle some things. God expected the disciples to handle it. I mean, Jesus expected them to handle it. So he actually trusted them more than they trusted him. He knew they could handle it. You know, that's why he went to sleep. Sometimes God knows you can handle the situation. Remember, he will never allow anything to come upon you more than your strength. So he already knows you can handle it. So it might seem like he went to sleep. And sometimes you say, why is God silent? Well, because he knows you can handle it. You know, so handle it already. And don't disappoint the Lord. You know, step up and handle it because you can handle it. That's right. This is what God is developing us into. Sons of God that can handle the situation. You do not go crying to Jesus in every little thing. You know, praise God. So God wants to develop us to that point. All right. So that's fear and anxiety. There's a lot more to be said about fear. There's a lot more to be said about that. But you need to have boldness and confidence rather than fear and anxiety. Fear will keep you from getting into the promised land. You know, what you will see will be giants. You won't even see, you'll see the goodness, but you will not report the goodness. All you will see is, there's too many giants. They are going to consume us. We're like grasshoppers. That's fear, you know, that put them in that situation. Now, we need to bury that fear and anxiety this year. Just bury it already. And let it not come across with you to next year. Unbelief and doubt. They are in the same camp. You know. And how do you, what's the antidote for that? Well, it's faith and believing. What's the difference between believing? Well, believing is faith with action. That's what believing is. There is an action to it. And that's why James says faith without works is dead. But faith with works is believing. Yeah. So when you believe, then show me your faith. Put on that wedding garment already. Praise God. You know, if you believe it, praise the Lord. You know, that's faith with action is believing. That's how you get rid of unbelief and doubt. Now, God is the dissolver of doubts. Hallelujah. And you got to develop yourself to the point. Look, in this coming year, we need to develop into sonship and not babies. I mean, we've been babies long enough. I mean, Paul said in Galatians 4 and 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. How long are we going to be children? You know, that same chapter talks about the maturity of the son. And he comes into his own. And we need to come into our own. This is what God is calling us to be. Sons of God. All that Adam lost, Jesus came to restore. But I don't see it happening, but it's coming. And we are getting into it. That's what we are going to be talking about this year as we enter into it. Now, you must believe God. And many scriptures about faith. I mean, the whole Bible is all about faith and believing. But I just gave a few, you know. I just gave a few. Now, when people doubt, you know, bad things happen. It's like Peter in Matthew chapter 14. He stepped out of the boat, said, Jesus, said, Master, is that you? If it's you, bid me come. And the Lord said, yeah, it's me. Come. And he stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water in Matthew chapter 14. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Peter actually did walk on water. Some of you thought that Peter didn't have any faith. He actually did walk on water. Have you? Have you walked on water? Did you ever take any steps? Go out to your swimming pool and try to walk across it. Praise the Lord. So, Peter actually did that for a bit. And he walked on water because Jesus said, come. And he was going. And Peter was having fun. My goodness, you know, I'm walking on water. Then the next thing, instead of looking at Jesus, he looked around and saw the waves boisterous. The waves were boisterous all the time. They didn't just become boisterous just because you got on the water. They were like that before. But when you kept your eyes on Jesus, you are moving on. And then he said, I can't walk on water. And then he began to, you know, hey, he's going to drown now, because now unbelief, doubt will creep in. Now, the antidote for you is faith, you know, and believing. And this next year, we're going into super faith. Now, you don't need big faith. All you need is a little faith. You know, if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, Jesus said, you can do great things. You know, but if you know how to walk your faith, it can become great faith. And we're going to make sure that people on this platform develop their faith to great faith. That's what we've been trying to do. You know, there are some people that Jesus looked at their faith and he said, oh, you of little faith, mostly his disciples. That's like believers today. We call ourselves believers, but we believe nothing. You know, we just carry that title, believer, but we don't believe anything. So what good is that title? You know, but there are some people that were not even called anything that had tremendous faith. There was a centurion, great faith. I said, look, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word. There was a Syrophoenician woman, tremendous faith. And, you know, and some of these people, Jesus said, wow, I have not seen so great faith in all Israel. I mean, he, you know, he enjoyed, appreciated, and admired great faith, but he always rebuked little faith. So don't deal with little faith. Some people say, well, all you have to do is mustard seed faith. Why? You know, Jesus just telling you that that's how you start, but you don't need to end there. You know, develop your faith. And the thing with faith is, the more you use it, the more you have. It's quite unlike money. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the currency of heaven. Quite unlike money, which is the currency of the earth. The more you use your money, the less of it you have. But faith, the more you use it, the more you have. So use it already. Praise the Lord. So many scriptures about faith and so on, you know. And how do you counteract faith? It's really simple, but you have to practice it. I'm going to only give one scripture here that I will talk about. In Mark 11, the one that Jesus was telling them, have faith in God. If you can say to this man, God, what happened? Jesus spoke to the fig tree the day before. And because he came there, the fig tree wasn't producing anything. And he said, look, you're done. Nobody's going to eat of you anymore. And he just walked away. And nothing seemed like it happened. But the disciples were there and said, what was that all about? Nothing happened, at least apparently. And then they went away. And then this next day, Jesus made sure they passed by that same place, because he was trying to teach them a lesson so that they could see the thing. And then when they saw, he said, Master, see that fig tree that you cursed yesterday? It's already withered away. And Jesus just laughed and smiled. He said, look, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. You know, and he said, I tell you, you know, you think that something great happened to that tree? Nothing at all. You know, you can do the same. This was what Jesus was always trying to teach folks. You know, you can do the same, he said to them. You can do the same. All you have to do is, when you say it, like I said it yesterday, when you say it, don't doubt, but believe. Hallelujah. Now, what you said will come to pass. Now, I said yesterday that many of us have not tapped into our capacity to believe. Maybe 1%. I mean, maybe 10%. It's most people, they're using 10% of their capacity to believe. Maybe even less. Many people, far less. But if you can tap into your capacity to believe God, Jesus said, look, you know, if you can only believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. Not exactly to God. We know that all things are possible to God. But many times, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples concepts that are strange today. And people don't actually think that they can act like God. You know, that's why we are here the way we are, and devil continue to pummel you down. Because you don't think of yourself, you know, as having the capacity to act as a son of God, you know. So a son of God is somebody that is like God, and he does like God, you know. And so we don't have the capacity, but we think we don't, but you do. Praise God. So Jesus was constantly trying to tell them, you know, if you can believe, all things are possible to you who believes. Not just to God. We know all things are possible to God, but all things are also possible to you. As a matter of fact, the way that you approximate the functioning like God, we know we can't function like Him entirely because our mind does not have the capacity to endure the greatness of God. But in certain realms, the way you approximate the capacity of to function like God is to believe. That's it. Believe. And you know, you can do the same things. Jesus said, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, the same works shall he do. This is not heresy that I'm teaching here. It's right in the scriptures. You know, so these are the things that we must believe. Now, the next one is disobedience and rebellion. This one is like, I mean, disobedience is rebellion already. So that's why I put them together. This must not go with you, you know, and all of us are guilty of this, myself included. We're always disobeying the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives you an unction and you don't do it. That's disobedience. You know, and many of us are in a rut or some bad place because you did not heed the Holy Spirit. You know, and I've been trying to teach people in this on this platform, you know, you need to engage with the Holy Spirit as who he is. Don't be saying something said to me. It's not something, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, get away of that something said to me. Recognize that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You know, and then when he gives us instruction, we don't obey. You know, and the Lord said point blank to many, you know, many times in the Old Testament, he said to his people, you know, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. He said to them all the time. But in fact, he gave them an incredible offer in Exodus 19 and 5. He said, look, if you will obey my voice indeed, then I will make you a kingdom of priests. That's right. And you can relate to me directly. Now, you will be a priest, but you also be a king. Remember, God has made us unto our God, you know, priests and kings. You know, and at first they said, yeah, we can do it. But no, once they saw the glory and heard the voice, they could not endure the voice of God. And they said, we can't do it. You, Moses, go hear it and come tell it to us. And they wouldn't hear his voice. Neither will they keep his commandments. Now, if you do not hear his voice, you are not going to be able to keep his commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, you are not going to be able to hear his voice. He walks both ways. His commandments are already given in the scriptures. If you don't keep it, you're not going to hear his personalized instruction. And if you are not willing to hear his personalized instruction, you will not be able to keep his commandments. It walks both ways. So Moses became a prophet to them because they would not have a relationship with God. And that's the reason we have prophets today. You know, the prophets today separate themselves from the people. Oh, I'm a prophet, this and that. And then you can't hear from God. And people are the ones that make them prophets, most of them, you know, because you can't hear from God yourself. So you need somebody to hear from God for you. Why is that? You know, every son must hear from their father. What kind of father is it that won't speak to his son? The prophets have their role. It's not about personal prophecy. Their role is to bring the word of God. That's right. Especially when the nation is gone astray, the prophet will bring the word of God and set them on the paths of righteousness again. They are most of the time, you know, repair of the breach, restore our paths to dwelling. That's a real prophet. That's what they do. It's not just this personal prophecy is all over the place, you know. But the reason that one is all over the place is because people themselves don't want to hear the voice of God. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. Amazing revelation. If you love me, keep my commandments. And there is more to it if you keep his commandments. He said, if you keep my commandments, I will come after you. And there's a difference between you know, God loves the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know that? Okay, cool. We know that. God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. We know that. The gift of God to the church is the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, is coming to you. So, God gave the church the Holy Spirit. He gave Jesus to the world. But, you know, the love that Jesus is talking about in John 14 and 21 for someone that loves him is more than John 3:16. This is not, you know, John 3:16. It's if you love the Lord, Jesus said, I will love you. My Father and I will love you when you keep my commandments. I will come after you. I will come to you. Now, there is a line, this is the way I always say, there is a line that you must cross. When you cross that line, you're the one pursuing God. And when you cross that line, he's coming for you. Because now, he said, if you love me, I'm coming to you. Glory to God. You know, but you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, Romans 8:28, famous scripture, you know. All things work together for good to them that love God. Well, does it say, I don't know how it says in your version of the Bible, but does it say all things work together for good to them who God loves? No. God loves everybody. But all things don't work together for good for everybody. All things work together for good to those who love God. Not to those who God loves, but to those who love God. That's right. Who are the called according to his purpose. So when you love him, though, the fruit of your love is to keep his commandments. That's what Jesus is saying. And his commandments are not grievous. You see it in John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. So I gave you those scriptures in the special write-up. You know, so obedience. Holy Spirit says you do. That's it. End of story. No questions, no arguing, no debate. Jesus said, look, if you are my friend, I mean, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. And that means Jesus says, and we do. And how does Jesus say to us today? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the word of God written, and through the Holy Spirit also to us personalized. And he gives you instruction, you obey. And let's not be like Saul. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. God told him to go and do some things. He did like 90% of it and said, well, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. No, you did not. You know, you did not obey the voice of the Lord. Because the Lord said, do this, do this, do this. Vanquish them, take no prisoners, do this, do this, do this. And he did some of it. He did left some of it. And he's claiming that he did it. You did not do it. And Samuel had to set him straight. He got to obey. You know, rather than say, I want to sacrifice, I want to do this. No, you did not obey the Lord. And because you did not obey, this thing cost him dearly. You know, he lost the anointing to be king. And he lost it also not only for himself, but for his lineage. Because he did not obey. This is serious stuff. So, obey, obey, obey. Now, the next thing, so disobedience and rebellion must not go with us to 2024. The next thing that must not go with you to 2024 is confusion and perplexity. A lot of people say, well, I'm confused. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, this and that. Why should you be confused? When Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, that he that, you know, followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You will not be confused and you will have the light of life. Why should you be confused? You know, so the antidote to that is strategy and inspiration. Now, God's going to give you strategy in this coming year. And anyone who doesn't have strategy will be confused. Just be going up and down. Might be going in circles. God has to give you strategy for each moment. You know, and this yesterday's strategy may be different from today. Best story in Samuel, I mean in David, that when he wanted to go up against the Philistines. One time he came, the Lord said, go up. Next time he came, the Lord said, don't go up. You know, that's strategy. God said, look, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. That's strategy. You will not be confused, but you must learn to obey his voice. Learn to discern his voice. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32 and 8. And my favorite scripture when it comes to inspiration, Job 32 verse 8. You knew it. You know, inspiration of the Almighty. You know, it's not by age, it's not by gray hairs, it's not by all of these things. There is a spirit inside man and gives them inspiration. And this inspiration of the Almighty, this new year will give you an advantage, right? Over everybody that doesn't have it. Because even while you sleep, God will seal the instruction in your heart. You wake up one day, you wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden it's like the light bulb went on. That's inspiration of the Almighty. You know, you're facing a difficult situation. Almost no solution. You don't know where to go. The Bible says you hear a voice in the back of your ear. And then inspiration of the Almighty just hits you, boom, and you can solve problems. You know, I found it even on my job in technology. You think these things only work in spiritual? No. It works even in the natural physical realm. In technology, when I face difficult situations, on my job, inspiration of the Almighty brought me out to solve problems. I face difficult situations on my learning as in college, inspiration of the Almighty. On and on and on. Inspiration of the Almighty will take away your perplexity, will take away your confusion. God will give you strategy, but you must look for that strategy. And our key verse here is for you to know that you will not be confused. You know, I gave people this Isaiah 50 verse 7 to memorize it and to use it daily. He says, look, I know the Lord will help me. He's going to give me strategy, you know, and I will not be confounded. That means confused and perplexed, you know, and I will, because I know I will not be confused and perplexed, I will set my face like a flint. That means I'm going to put on, in American language, I'm going to put on my game face. You know, I'm going to put on my game face. I know I will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded. You will not be perplexed. So confusion and perplexity must drop right here today. Discouragement, number five, and disappointment. Discouragement is right up there with all the other tools that the devils try to use. You know, to discourage you. I mean, just, you know, just can't do it. You know, just try to discourage you and so forth. What is the antidote to that? Courage and confidence. That's right. Many scriptures where God will say, fear not, be not dismayed, and so on. Have I not commanded you? And so on and so forth. The Lord was always saying that, you know, and sometimes to counteract discouragement, you yourself have to encourage yourself in the Lord. God will encourage you, but you must encourage yourself in the Lord. Just like David, the story in Ziklag, which we covered the other day. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You can read it also in Psalm 42. You know, he said things like, you know, in verses 5 and 11, you know, why art thou cast down with me, O my soul? Why art thou discouraged? You know, look, the soul is where all the emotions are. Emotions of love, of joy, of happiness, of those good emotions are there. The bad emotions are also there. Fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, and all these things, you know, grief and so on. It's all there in the soul. You know, so sometimes you have to put the soul in its place. That's right. And who best to put the soul in place? The spirit in man using the word of God. So you read that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Say the word of God is able to divide between the soul and the spirit. So you take the word of God in your spirit and put the soul in its place. And you say, soul, we're not doing that today. We're not doing that gloomy stuff. We're not doing that discouragement stuff. We're not doing that disappointment stuff. I am going to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and because he's coming unto me in the light of his countenance. That's how you do it. So we're going to put down discouragement and disappointment. Next, weariness and fatigue. Now, these are not in any particular order, just the way I put them down. Weariness and fatigue. You know, a lot of people are just weary The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. Many people are just weary. They've labored. Look, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you know, come unto me. Now, so God, the Lord is going to give you strength and rest. Strength and rest. So in the special write-up, I gave you many scriptures to find strength and to find rest. And there are some scriptures that actually challenge us to not be a weakling and not be a ping pong for the devil to bounce you up and down. Don't do it. You know, so we're not going to put up with any of that this coming year. You know, now, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 13 tells you, quit ye like men. That doesn't mean give up. It actually means stop being like a weak person, you know, that is bullied by the devil up and down. Devil play yo-yo with your life. One day smack you this way, the next day smack you that way. No, enough of that already. This life, this year, you can say to the devil, you know, every time you give the, you can give the devil some black eye. You say, take that, devil. This house is now under new management. We're not doing any of that stuff this year. We're not doing it. You know, I am not going to be fatigued. I am not going to be weary because the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that wait upon the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. Put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Scripture after scripture tells us about being strong, not weak and not wearied, you know, praise the Lord. So I gave some scriptures for that strength and rest that the Lord will give you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32, you know, verses 17 and 18, powerful scripture that you should use for yourself. You know, when the fatigue and this kind of thing, you know, tries to creep in, use this powerful scripture for yourself. And what does he say? He says, well, you know, that the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and tranquility, assurance, you know, forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Praise the Lord. You know, there'll be peace in your home, peace in your life. There's quietness, there's rest, and so forth. You know, praise the Lord. We had a house guest last week, and she came in and told my wife, said, wow, your house is so peaceful. That's right. Because there is a calmness, there is a rest. You know, I mean, it's like a cloud. There's a cloud of love, a cloud of Holy Spirit. Just, you know, bring quietness and rest and assurance forever. You know, so don't let this thing weary you down. You know, you got to put it away and so forth. Let your hands be strong. David said, look, God has taught my hands to fight. You know, I can fight with my hands, I can fight with my fingers, I can bend a bow of steel with my hands. I mean, he's not weary. He can do it. He can go up against the lion. He can go up against Goliath. He can go up against anything. Praise the Lord. Now, next is sickness and disease. Ladies and gentlemen, here is an announcement. Because this is the thing that is so prone. And we're constantly having to pray against sickness, against disease. People are coming in with all kinds of things. Diabetes, high blood pressure, this and that. You know, it's even going worse. Getting into leukemia, it's going into cancer, it's going to all of these things. What? Among the household of faith? No! We're not doing that this new year. We're not doing it. Because the Lord said, look, you know, I will not put any of this sickness upon you, and you will know how that I will make a differentiation between my people and Egypt. We're not going to take any of that sickness, any of that disease stuff, because by his stripes, we are already healed. That's right. We're putting that, all that sickness and that disease stuff, not going with you to 2022. for none of it. Hallelujah. Instead, God is giving healing and health. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. 3 John 2. The Lord wants us to prosper, to be in health. You know, Psalm 103 says, the Lord who heals all of my diseases. Now, let us be healed and stay healed. That's it. Be healed today before you cross into next year and stay healed. Now, when some sickness tries to hit your body, put up with it. Don't even put up with it at all. That's why you have these, the special writing will remind you throughout the year. You go back and you look at it. Look, I'm not putting up with that. And you read the scriptures. We dealt with prophetic prayers and prophetic release yesterday. You use the scriptures to pray. That's prophetic prayers. You use the scriptures to declare things for yourself. That's prophetic release. And, you know, so it's not all the time you pray. Sometimes you pray, sometimes you say to the mountain. Either way, when you use the word of God, it's so powerful. It's quick and powerful. Now, sicknesses, diseases, all these things that are in the world, you know, we talk about, you know, pandemic, we talk about this, we talk about that, we're in the flu season, we're in this and that, you know, immunize yourself with those scriptures. That's right. I'm not taking and telling anybody not to take immunization. That's not what I'm saying. Do that if you need to. But, you know, spiritually speaking, you immunize yourself. You know, the word of God told Moses, let them put the blood upon the doorpost of their house. And for every house where I see that blood, I will instruct the angel of death, the destroyer, to pass over. Now, so you put that blood, hallelujah, upon yourself. You know, that's right. Now, sickness and disease must not go with you. Deuteronomy 7:15. The Lord said, I will take all that away from the midst of you. And we don't want to see it even among the brethren. You don't want to see it in your family. Enough of that already. And you know, Jesus gave us power. Sometimes we forget. He said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And also he told them in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Lay your hands and people will be sick. People that are sick will be healed. We forget to do that sometimes. Now, next thing, number 8, terror and oppression. Now, this is a really bad one. You know, and what is God's antidote for that? He'll give you deliverance and he'll give you protection from terror. And I gave you a lot of scriptures which you could read, you know, but I want to talk about, you know, the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 49 and verse 25. Oppression, terror, and all these things, the Lord gives us the victory over it. You know, when the devil thinks he's got you where he wants you, he's not going to just... You think the devil is just going to be happy to just oppress you a little bit? No. He's going to pile on more oppression. That's if you let him. That's why the scripture says, neither give inch. Don't give place to the devil. In Ephesians 4:27, don't even give him any room at all. You know, because if you give him 1 inch, well, you know, the proverbial give 1 inch, they'll take a mile thing. You know, if you give the devil 1 inch, actually, he'll take more than a mile. He'll take everything because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, so don't even mess around with the devil. Don't even let him do anything. You know, so even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. You know, the Lord said, I'll contend with them that contend with them. I'll even save your children. There are many, many promises. Now, feed them that oppress you, their own flesh, and so on. You know, so many promises in that special write-up. Use it for yourself. Don't let the terror and oppression and depression comes in here as well. You know, people, oppression and oppressing spirits, we dealt with that 5 days ago. That's what causes, you know, depression. You know, and Jesus said, look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Brokenhearted, that's depression. I mean, the anointing of the Lord heals that. And, you know, staying in the Word of God with prayer and with praising the Lord will drive that back faster than anything I know. Praising the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, so we talked about God will give you deliverance and God will give you protection through this next year. Now, number 9, heavy burdens and evil yokes. We also talked about that, you know, in the last few times. How do all those come? I mean, how do they come? Well, it came because of what Pharaoh said to the people. You know, he said, look, these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they said, you know, they want to go and serve the Lord. So what you need to do is give them more burdens. Let more burden be laid in upon them. You know, Exodus chapter 5, you know, verses 8 and 9. You know, they are idle. So when you are at rest and everything is working well for you, the devil is looking for a way to bring and scatter all that down. Scatter that, bring all that down. So he said, look, let's add more burden. Let's put more tasks. Give them more bills to pay. Give them problems. Attack their family. Attack their homes. Let them put holes in their bags when they earn money. Give them situations that they have to run helter-skelter. You don't need any of these things. Praise the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. You stand your ground, and you push back on all those things. And we covered that in great detail before. So we're not going to take the burdens and yokes. Jesus said, look, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, you know. Take the yoke of the Lord instead. You know, I explained yokes the last time. There are all kinds of yokes, you know. Everybody has a yoke. Now, it all depends on whether it is the yoke of the Lord or evil yokes from the devil, you know. So we're not going to do that. We're not taking any of that with us through next year. Failures and losses. That's number 10. That's the one where people cannot just get ahead. You know, it's many failures and the losses and so forth. And people make, you know, error in judgment. And they lose a lot. They fail at the things that they're trying to do. And the devil will bring that constantly against you. We're not taking any of those things with us to next year. You know, God instead will give you success. Hallelujah. The Bible says you shall have good success. You know, how do you do it? By meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God will give you strategy and instruction. And you shall have good success. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. You know, you will never have an off season. Praise God. You will always have successes. And there will be celebrations coming for you. And God will encourage you that, look, even when you stumble, don't stay down. Micah 7 and 8, when I am down, I'm going to arise. That's right. Don't stay down. You're not staying down for the count in 2024. You know, most of the time when we are careless, when you are not paying attention and not listening to the Holy Spirit, the devil will cheap shot you and then knock you down on the canvas. But whether he knocks you down or not, don't stay down. Bounce right back in the name of the Lord. But I guarantee you, if you are more prudent, he will not be able to knock you down in the first place. Because the prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. You know, so, you know, we talked about that. And the Lord will give you victories. You know, he said, look, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. He'll give you many victories. You know, and celebrations are coming your way. I love Isaiah 55, verses 12 and 13. He said, look, you know, what God is going to do for you is like the mountains will be rejoicing, hills will be breaking forth and so forth. Even the ground will sing underneath you. God will line up the fields. I mean, trees of the field. That's like people, you know, to celebrate your success, clap their hands for you. So this coming year, we're celebrating you. Hallelujah. Yours will be the voice. I mean, around you will be the voice of celebration. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. The voice of them that shall make merry shall not depart from your household, your life, this new year in Jesus' name. But we're going to put away all that loss and failure and stuff that the devil tries to bring up in your face. And what do you tell the devil? That was then, but this is now. And I told people, get your finger off that rewind button. We're not doing, remember Lot's wife, you know, Luke chapter 17, 32. Remember Lot's wife. Don't be looking back. You know, when you put your hand on the plow, you're not looking back. You're going forward. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's what the Lord's going to do for us. We're going to cast all these, you know, negative things behind us for this year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me quickly finish up the last two here. Sorrow and mourning. Well, God will replace that with gladness and joy. Hallelujah. He said, look, sorrow may endure for one night. Psalm 30 and verse 5. But joy is coming in the morning. Well, the sorrow's part, well, that's it. You know, sorrow and mourning and things that bring sorrow and mourning. You know, some people have suffered losses this year, even family losses. No more. Hallelujah. In this new year, by the grace of God, there will be no loss. There shall nothing cast their young. There will be no loss in your life. There will be nothing diminished, not in your family, in the name of Jesus. There will be wellness, wholeness, and increase, not diminished, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sorrow and mourning, God's going to wipe away our tears. Therefore shall the ransom of the Lord return. I say, therefore shall the ransom of the Lord go through 2024 with joy and gladness. Now joy will be upon their heads, gladness will be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy. Praise the Lord. That's it. You know, and those who are sorrowing, God will comfort you. You know, say, God who comforted us in all our tribulations. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. God will comfort you this year so you can move on. Hallelujah. Don't carry that with you. No. But next year, he will give you, he will surround you with safety and joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, it's also a way that we hide ourselves. You know, don't forget Psalm 91. It's a powerful, powerful psalm to use for yourself. You know, I added it under the terror and oppression thing, but I didn't have time to talk about it right now. You know, when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, which is in His Word, and praising Him and using His Word, saying that in His Word will I praise the Lord, praising Him and using His Word, repeating His Word in prophetic prayers and prophetic release, you know, there shall no evil befall you. None plague shall come near you. The Lord will keep you. Others may fall this way and that way, but it will not come near you. Last but not the least, and this is where we bring it to a head. Stagnation and slumber. What is slumber? Well, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, so shall thy poverty come upon you as an armed man. You know, when people are lazy, that's not a good thing. You know, somebody say, oh, there's a lion in the street. You know, I can't do that. You know, he that regarded the clouds will not sow, and he that regarded the winds will not reap. They say, oh, it's going to rain today, so I can't do anything. People just, you know, procrastination and all kinds of things. We're going to leave that this year, today. We're not going forward with that. What you must do, and that's the reason why people are not moving forward. That's stagnated, you know, and now moving forward. But the Lord said, you will emerge, and emerge you will. Hallelujah. And so we need to drop all these things, drop all these bad habits, you know, of procrastination and so forth. You know, drop all these things today. We're not carrying them to next year. And God wants to have give you advancement. God wants to make sure you go forward. Don't stand in the same place. Can't be in the same place. Look, where you are today, and I'm going to give you that scripture now. You know, in Genesis chapter 13 and verses 14 to 15, the Lord said, where you are right now is not where you will be next year. Hallelujah. From where you are, from the place where you are right now, look around you. But you must have the vision to see greater. That's right. To think greater, to believe greater, and see greater, and obtain greater. You know, visionaries, that's what they do. This world would not have advanced if we didn't have visionaries, even science and so forth. People have vision. You know, and this coming year, you must increase your faith horizon. You must see farther out. Hallelujah. And that's what God told Abraham. Look, from where you are, never mind where you were, that's gone. Can't do anything about that. But where you are right now, from the place where you are, you must have advancement. You must advance to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back. That's what God calling for in this new year. Because that word that he spoke shall no longer be delayed. And it will come to pass that you will emerge. Hallelujah. And here's how the Lord put it out finally in Isaiah 54 verses 1 to 4. He said, look, whether you are barren, you will break forth. Whether you've been behind, you will break forth. You know, but you yourself must enlarge your thinking. He said, look, enlarge your coasts, enlarge your thinking. You know, stretch forth the places of your habitation. Don't curtail yourself with small dreams. Have big dreams. Praise the Lord. You know, even God, he had big dreams for us. You know, he saw that we could be like the Christ. You know, and that's what he said. These people will be like the Christ. And he said Christ will be the firstborn, but not the only one. He will be the firstborn among many brethren. So there will be many of them come like him. And God has big dreams for us. You know, why sell yourself short? Praise God. Have big dreams. Not prideful dreams, but big dreams of what God said you are. And that's what we must be. God said you will emerge, and that's what you must do. And don't stand at the Red Sea crying to God. No, move forward. Hallelujah. And as long as you are standing there, it will be a Red Sea. That's right. And we've had many Red Sea moments this last year. But look, let's learn from all of that. You must move forward. You must move forward. The priests that were carrying the ark, Jordan remained Jordan until they stepped into it. When they stepped into it, the Bible said the Jordan parted. Same thing with Moses. You got to move forward. That thing will part. God knows how to heap up the waters on either side and make a way for you to go through. And the Lord has promised that he will do a new thing. So I gave you many scriptures to encourage you. Now, those are the things that must not go with you into 2024. Now, I'm going to change the order of this room now into prayers. You've heard it. It's a summary of the special write-up that I gave you on the WhatsApp platform. Now we're going to pray against every one of these things. And you know which areas are plaguing you out of all these things. There may be more that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. This is what he gave me. You know what areas are plaguing you. Drop those things today. That's right. I'm not going with you. Those of you who are used to grumbling when the Lord tells you something, drop all of that, you know, today. You know, so say yes to the Lord. Will you say yes today? Hallelujah. And if there's anybody in this room today or listening or hearing my voice later on, and if you haven't said yes to the Lord, what are you waiting for? Say yes to the Lord and experience a new thing. And this new year, we must experience new things. Hallelujah. Because the Lord said it himself, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, I will do a new thing. You know, you know, something new is coming for you. And something good is coming for you. But we got to leave the negative things behind. So right now we're going to pray. And I want as many people as are on stage, and even if you are in the audience, engage with us. And if you'd like to come on in and join us in prayer, because right now I'm going to finish up my delivery of this lesson, and then we're going to go into prayer fire right now for all the things that we need to drop this year. It's not coming with me next year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, that's my lesson for today.